What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Down to the Wire. Maybe not as an exciting opener this week. I'm sorry, but listen, we can't do it every week, Mason. Okay, we got to move on. All right, we did clinch the West. Thank God, after a scary game at Arkansas and then Ole Miss trying to pull something out late against Bama. But we did it. Clinched the West. Believer the whole time, okay?
Who's we? Who's the we that you're talking about?
Sounds more like
the whole time that Coach Kelly is going to get it done, okay? I never doubted, ever, whatsoever. Yeah, so we'll get into it. We have been waiting for probably an hour now, since we were a little late anyways getting set up. We have been waiting for an hour on this Tuesday night to get these stupid playoff rankings released because of stupid college basketball in November taking precedent over this. Like, what are we talking about here, Mason? It's November college basketball. It literally does not matter in the slightest, and it's taking precedent over college football rankings that when we're literally in the meat end of the season when it matters, bro. Like, what is going on here?
You got to give love to the Blue Bloods.
No,
that's what I'm here for. Coach K or Coach Cal and freaking Tom Izzo. I mean,
dude, screw Kentucky basketball and screw Michigan State basketball and Duke and Kansas. Okay, just get them out of my freaking view off my TV. Do not care. Okay, just give me my freaking rankings. So they were an hour and 15 minutes late giving us these rankings. So I'm already kind of spicy here, and so we're gonna get into that. We'll talk about last week's games, probably talk a little bit, and guys, like, the slate really isn't that good this week. There are quite a few games that we have that we're picking, but honestly it's not a great week, so we're probably not going to talk much about the games this week. We're probably going to do a lot of talk on college football playoff stuff, maybe a little bit Heisman talk, because it seems like it's wide open right now, honestly. To me, at least. To me, it feels wide open. Maybe not to you, because you've been hanging on the same guy since the preseason. But we'll get into all of it. Whatever, Mason. Whatever. So let's get into it, man. What game do you want to talk about first from last week?
I don't necessarily have many games that I actually wanted to talk about. I do have a couple storylines that I was excited to bring up to your attention this week. So coming into this week, you know, I was a little down on myself. I wasn't really excited for this weekend. It wasn't going to be a great weekend for Alabama. Yeah.
Why?
Look, it is what it is. Okay. Not much to play for, but I'm still going to watch anyways. But I will say Alabama's rivals this weekend really decided to make it a little spicy for me. LSU come out, tries to blow it against Arkansas, which I was enjoying the entire time watching it, but they did it. They pulled it out. So that is what it is. And how about this? Texas A&M, our beloved Aggies, have decided to come out and be historically bad this year. One thing that I don't think either one of us were expecting. They're literally the first team ever to have the number one recruiting class the previous in the offseason come in and then not even be bowl eligible. So they made history this year, which is just great because we both hate them. So it's been nice. And then the Auburn Tigers are out here deciding, their fans have decided to just crown Cadillac Williams the child of God, apparently. They want him hired now just because they beat this historically bad Texas A&M team. I mean, what a weekend for me. I was just having a blast watching all this go down at the same time.
It honestly was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. Freaking Harry Perkins is a man. Move out of the way, Will Anderson, the best player in college football is Harold Perkins. He took over the game and won the game. Okay.
Pull up the numbers.
Harold Perkins is greater than Will Anderson.
As a freaking
freshman, dude.
No, you can't convince me otherwise.
Right?
No.
Can't convince me otherwise.
You gotta take off the purple and gold glasses, Cam.
Listen. The Auburn A&M scene was freaking insane. And listen, I freaking called A&M having the possibility of legitimately going 4-8. I called it a few weeks ago, and it really hinged on the past two games. It hinged on Florida winning and deciding they wanted to play football and give Anthony Richardson the ball. And then two, it was dependent on Auburn actually showing up and weird stuff happening in Jordan-Hare, which it happened. Like, it got weird at the end of that game, dude. So like it freaking happened, and now like, hey, it's not a given they'll beat UMass. It's not a given. So
oh my gosh. I mean, I can't believe that they would actually lose to UMass, but they did lose to Appalachian State earlier this year. Did. So
yeah, and that just has to make this just has to make Arkansas just feel worse about themselves.
I should feel terrible.
Okay. Like they couldn't move the ball against LSU because you didn't have KJ Jefferson. And so you lose that one. And then when you had KJ Jefferson at the beginning of the year, you freaking fumble on the 5 yard line because you think you're like legitimately Superman, thinking that you can fly yeah. into the end zone from the five. And you give up a fumble, return touchdown to A&M to lose. Like, that's a horrible A&M team. And you lost to that team.
Yeah.
Your beloved 10-2 Arkansas Razorbacks. The Arkanfrauds.
I'm going to close my eyes next time I say that. Good Lord. I can't believe I was on that bandwagon. Okay, but let me ask you
what you think about the – before you get into that, Mason, I do want to get your thoughts on the Alabama-Ole Miss game. What your thoughts on it was.
I guess we can talk about that too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, so the one thing I was wanting to see from Alabama was – the willingness to actually come out and compete and fight in the game, like you have something to play for, which I would say they did. The game started off really slow for Alabama, which is how they've been playing on the road in the SEC lately. So it felt bad starting off, but the way Alabama finished the game, they were progressing in a direction that I like, because it basically felt like at the end of the game, Nick Saban wanted to get back to the foundation of what Alabama was built on, which is ground and pound. You can try and stop us if you want to, blah, blah, blah. We're running the ball. Who cares? And that's kind of where they got to. They had, I don't remember what the time of possession was for the fourth quarter. It felt like Alabama had it for most of the fourth quarter, just because they were able to kind of run at will almost. And so it just...
And that's weird.
Yeah, exactly. And so it felt good to kind of watch the game and kind of get back to the point where we're trying to get back to the foundation of what Alabama was built on, and which is ground and pound. And so I'll say that was nice to see. It's making me feel better about where we're headed than how I felt after LSU.
Where the heck was Jahmyr Gibbs in that second half, bro?
He got hurt.
Did he really get hurt? Like, yeah. If he got hurt, why do you have your helmet on?
Yeah. So Saban came out after the game and said that he tweaked his ankle in the first quarter, I think it was. So I don't know. I mean, during the game, they didn't say anything. They kept the reporters kept coming out and saying that he was fine, blah, blah, blah. And then after the game, Saban said that he tweaked his ankle. So
it's sus, dude.
Kind of weird.
It's a little sus.
Kind of weird. But I'm going to go with the GOAT and agree with him and say that he had a bum ankle.
Listen, how weird is it that you guys winning the game completely ended your shot for going to Atlanta?
Yeah.
Like, how weird is that?
And that felt great.
Basically, so no matter what you did in that game, you eliminated yourself from contention.
Yeah. But you know what? Championships aren't everything, Cameron.
Oh, really? Really?
Have a good time.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I'll remember that.
We're rebuilding this year. That's all it is.
Complete and utter bull. That is complete and utter bull, Mason. All right.
You're two of the rebuild.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever, Mason. Listen, I got to say, and I don't know if I can say this with a straight face, but our beloved Vanderbilt Commodores won the first time in 26 tries an SEC game against the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend.
All right. Let me ask you this. Rewind it back to the offseason. If I sat here and said, all right, Cam, what's more realistic, LSU winning the West or Vandy getting an SEC win this year? Which one are you taking?
Honestly, I might say Vandy winning an SEC game. Honestly, I might. I like, they're like 1A and 1B to me in the offseason. And both freaking happened, bro.
What a year. What a crazy year.
it's okay, college football, you're drunk, but we love you, okay?
And isn't UConn's bowl eligible?
UConn's
now
going
or
bowling.
Like,
yeah, after so Liberty goes and beats Arkansas last week, and then or 2 weeks ago, and this past week they freaking lose to UConn to let UConn be bowl eligible. What a time.
What a great season. It's been such a blast to watch everybody except for Alabama.
Oh my gosh. West Virginia beats Oklahoma. Oklahoma is 5-5, Mason. I don't know if you realize this. 5-5.
Coming into the SEC too.
Yeah.
That's not good. All right. So who do you feel like, who would you be more worried about right now coming into the SEC? Is it still
Oklahoma for sure?
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma for sure. Oh, yes.
I feel like Oklahoma and Texas are both in a weird spot right now because it feels like they both have coordinator, like, a defense coordinator and an offense coordinator in a head coaching position, and neither one of them are really succeeding right now. I mean, I love Sark. I think he's a great coach, but to me, he's just not a head coach almost. Like, it just feels like he should just stay and be a glorified offensive coordinator and do his job.
So obviously, the Texas TCU game didn't go at all as I expected it to go, and yeah. Texas didn't score an offensive touchdown. And I think this just kind of goes to what I was talking about with them a few weeks ago of like, I honestly just think they're a year away. They're just so young on the offensive side of the ball that they're just like so inconsistent. And that comes with their youth. And you're playing a quarterback that this is his first year starting since junior year of high school. And he was hurt for 4 or 5 games during the season and lost reps. So, like, they're just not there yet, obviously, but the fact that their defense, like, to me, the hope for me with Texas and why I feel a lot more comfortable with them coming into the SEC than I do Oklahoma is that their defense held a high-powered offense at 13 or 17 points or whatever it was against TCU. And so, they did pretty well against Alabama on defense. I mean, they've had a few games where it wasn't great, but their defense has been more consistent and it's allowed their offense to maybe not have their best games and still win. I think a lot of people are feeling really disappointed in Texas this year because they expected them to win the Big 12 or at least make the Big 12 championship game. And you and I are probably both kind of guilty of that a little bit, but I mean, honestly, like you look at it, to finish their schedule, they play Kansas, which I think they'll win. And then they play Baylor, which Baylor hasn't looked good. Like they aren't the same Baylor team as last year. And so you could be talking about Texas from going 5-7 last year to possibly going 8-4 going into bowl season. And like, dude, that's like a huge win. That's coming off of a game you could have and some people say should have beaten Bama. And could have and were in the chance of winning against TCU, should have beaten a Texas Tech team. I mean, all the games you lost.
And Oklahoma State.
all the games you've lost, like, you've been right there. You know, like, these weren't, like, blowout losses that you had. I just think that there's probably maybe a little bit more overreaction to the TCU loss just because the offense just looked so poor at home, which is understandable. Yeah. But, like, man, they're just so young. Quinn Ewers, like, you watch the game, like, he missed a lot of open throws that would have been touchdowns, would have completely changed the game. If he makes one or two of those throws to Xavier Worthy, like, it's a completely different game, and maybe they win. And so, to me, that just makes it say, hey, like, Texas is close. Their defense is getting stronger. They're building depth. Their offense, if they don't take a leap next year, and obviously next year is, I think, their last year in the Big 12. If they don't take that leap next year, especially on offense, and don't win the Big 12 next year, to me, then I'm be like, okay, maybe Sark maybe isn't the answer. And like, that is kind of weird to say, though, because like Texas has just been through so many head coaches since Mack Brown that, like, man, at some point, like, you're just going to have to stick with somebody longer than 3 or 4 years, you would think, you know? And if Sark is that guy, maybe, but like, it's just kind of crazy down there because if you just have a new coach come in every 3 or 4 years, like, you can't build a culture, and it's just like keeps on a revolving door. Like, that's super easy to recruit against for other teams and all this kind of stuff. So they're definitely in a weird position, but I think they're a little bit stronger than Oklahoma just because I think maybe Brent Venables is a little over his head, and resource wise, I think Texas is just built way better than Oklahoma going into an SEC environment.
Yeah, so I'm definitely a lot more worried about Oklahoma too. The thing that worries me about them is I'm wondering if when they come into the SEC, you're basically opening up all of Oklahoma and Texas for fair game recruiting wise to the SEC. Because the thing about Oklahoma is they've always been able to kind of hang their cap on the fact that they basically win the Big 12 just about every year. And you're not going to be able to do that anymore because you're going to struggle in the SEC for a little bit. So you're not going to be able to do that. And what they haven't won a national championship since like early 2000. So you're putting all that together while coming into the SEC. I'm worried that they're going to end up just turning into another Missouri where they think they can come in and fight a little bit. And it's just not going to be able to pan out for them because they're not going to be able to recruit the same way that they were. They're going to have to figure something else out.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see. I mean, right now they're recruiting well. I mean, like, we can say bringing Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC is going to open up Texas. But, I mean, Texas A&M has been there for years, so it's already kind of been open. I think it more maybe opens more of the Southeast to Oklahoma and Texas, like to a Georgia and a Florida that maybe they didn't have as much access to before. But again, man, like, if you're Oklahoma, if you're coming into the league with Lincoln Riley, like you're good. Like you feel good.
Yeah, you feel great.
But going into a second or a third year, like prove it year with Brent Venables as your head coach when he's never done it anywhere, like that's what gets you nervous. Sark has been there. He didn't succeed at USC, but at the time USC was super hard to succeed at because of the sanctions and everything that they've dealt with. But man, like again, like I just think, and I think part of the reason why Lincoln left is that he didn't think that Oklahoma was ready to, as a program, as a facilities and all that kind of stuff, was really ready for SEC football. And that's why I think that's one of the reasons why he bolted for LA is just because, you know, he didn't want to, I don't want to say he didn't want to compete, but he knew what he was up against and knew it wasn't going to be good enough to do what they needed to do. And it was going to take years upon years to actually get there. And he's like, hey, I can just go to USC and win immediately. And even if we're going to the Big Ten, like, only had to deal with Ohio State and Michigan. Like I could do that.
Yeah. Know? Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. I agree with what you were saying. I don't think Texas will fire Sark, but it would not surprise me one bit if after year one in the SEC, Venables was gone, or even if they just didn't even come into the SEC with Venables. If let's say they don't, it's 2 years from now when Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC and Venables has another bad year next year, I don't think they would come into the league with him.
Oh, if they're like 6-6 next year, like they are, what they're probably going to be this year, like, man, that's tough. That's tough, yeah. You know?
So the one thing I wanted to bring up to you, going back to Texas A&M.
Oh, Lord.
I can't even say it yet. Oh, so when do you think Jimbo is going to be officially on the hot seat?
When is enough enough? I
think he's already there. I think after last week taking the L and then coming in and losing to Auburn, you can't tell me he's not on the hot seat at this point.
Man, I don't know, man. Like, I would think he is too. And, like, here's what I think is kind of weird and how kind of people are – like you hear people that are close to the A&M program saying things like, oh, you know, like Jimbo knows what he needs to do. Like he knows he needs to make a change. He knows he needs to hire an offensive coordinator. Like the way that it's said kind of makes me think that they're trying to convince themselves that that's what he's going to do. And like, in what reality do we actually like 100% believe that Jimbo can like actually like give up play calling and like let some other guy come in and change the system and call what they want to call? Like what reality are we talking
pride.
About?
Too much pride.
Like less, like he is on the level of Les Miles when it comes to how hard headed and how like believed he is in what his system is. Like I honestly believe that. And Les Miles could not give up. And that was his demise at LSU. He could not give up how the offense was run. He could not give up the play calling. He could not let the offensive coordinators call however they wanted to call it. And that's what got him fired. That's what made the program like not be successful up to the standard that he built it and what Nick built it and he sustained it. Like, and honestly, like, I see that of Jimbo. I see a lot of that in Jimbo. And I think a lot of people that are fans of that program and that just talk about that program on a national level are just trying to convince themselves that Jimbo is so smart and that he's such a great coach that he's going to be willing to make the change. And I'm in this spot of like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And even if he does, there's no guarantee that honestly that him and whoever is going to be offensive coordinator are going to like mesh well together, that he's not going to butt heads. And as soon as something goes wrong, that he's not going to immediately take over and it's going to be the same old thing. Like, there's nothing that tells me and points to me saying that that's going to be good. And so, like, it's a legit, like, to me, it's a legitimate conversation. Maybe to others, like Josh Pate, it isn't, but to me, it is. Like, it's a legitimate conversation of, like, hey, you're Texas A&M. You're spending all this money. You're spending way more money on Jimbo than you did Kevin Sumlin, and you have worse results than Kevin Sumlin at this point. So, like, you had the number one recruiting class, which, honestly, I think a lot of people wouldn't be surprised to see it, like, crumble this offseason with the transfer portal. You had Moose Muhammad, that whole situation where, like, he was basically suspended for wearing sleeves, even though he's worn sleeves before in football games. Like what's the deal with that? Like, you, like, it's a fractured locker room. Like, you can just see it. You can just see it. Like, there's no reason, even how bad of offense you are, there's no reason to lose to that Auburn team. There's no reason to, man. Because you have far superior talent, and your far superior talent should be able to beat that Auburn team. I didn't think they would, but you should. And honestly, like, if they get beat by UMass this week, which I think there's at least a legitimate, like, kind of somewhat scare there, just because of how poorly they play, like, you lose to UMass, like, he absolutely should actually have his name mentioned, like, hey, like, do we actually want to move forward with him this year? Because, like, you're going to owe him this money anyways. Like, do you want to get rid of him now and pay him his money and get a new face and try and salvage your program? Or do you want to just see if it's a slow roll and maybe hope and pray that he gets it together? Because he's getting his money no matter what, whether he's here this year or next year, fired this year, fired next year. Like, he's getting the same amount of money. So, like, there's no difference. In your A&M, you have the money.
Yeah, and the reason I brought it up is because I feel like they're almost doing themselves a disservice by just keeping him around at this point. When you have a big name like Lane Kiffin out there, who obviously has one foot out the door right now with Ole Miss, I just feel like you could throw any number at Lane Kiffin right now and he would bolt to Texas A&M almost immediately. I don't think he even second guesses leaving Ole Miss for Texas A&M or not taking the Auburn job for Texas A&M.
Okay, I would for sure take the Texas A&M job over Auburn any day right now.
Oh, any day of the week. I mean, honestly, like, I would probably take Texas A&M over 90% of the country right now.
The only programs I would not take A&M over at this point is LSU, just because of the built-in advantage of Louisiana, Ohio State for the same reason, Georgia for the same reason. And then who else? Maybe Bama? Maybe? But I mean, that you would take Bama. To me, like, the only reason why I say maybe about Bama is that I think that program is built not because of Bama, but because of Nick. That's the only reason I say that. But yeah, I can understand the reason why you would put them in that list. So, you know, that's four. Would you pick USC over A&M? No.
I don't think I would.
Would you pick Michigan over A&M? No. Would you pick Florida over A&M? Maybe?
Florida would be the only other one that I would consider. Just because recruiting grounds, money-wise, XYZ. That would be the only other one of the four or five that you named that I would actually consider over at Texas A&M. And I mean, that's it. So that's my point. Like, if you just want to sit here and sit on Jimbo for another year, that's just kind of stupid to me, because you have a big fish out there like Lane Kiffin, who is very obviously ready to jump ship from Ole Miss. And if you can get him at any point in the next like 2 weeks, probably before he actually decides to go to Auburn. And I mean, that would just that would take your program to another level in a week than what freaking Jimbo has done in what, 5 years at this point?
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm right there with you. I think it's a no-brainer to me. I mean, obviously, it's different being an outsider looking into this But like, I mean, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, you're Texas A&M. He has done nothing of significance for you. You won an Orange Bowl in a COVID year. And your team wasn't even that good, by the way. Like, it was not a good A&M team. It was because you played in the COVID year where all the teams were bad. So like, I just like you've done nothing of significance. You get the number one recruiting class and then you piss it away going 3-9 or 4-8.
And I couldn't even tell you any of their other big wins other than Alabama last year. Like, it just seems like
they've been there. So the only other one was against LSU in that 7 or 8 overtime game.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that was a
BS thing because they got bailed out on a freaking review call with Kellen Mond's knee down, which in reality, if that's actually just called in the game and let gone, the clock runs out, the game's over. It's like they just got bailed out.
That was after. That was 2020, right?
That was 2018. That was the year before 2019. So that was like his year one or year two or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, even that, like, that was a good LSU team, but it wasn't like they went out and beat 2019 LSU.
I mean, that was when LSU was kind of more on the rise, but yeah, like, that wasn't 2019 LSU. That was a flawed LSU team that was on the rise. They ended up winning the Fiesta Bowl, but like, that wasn't an amazing team. It was more, that's only a big win because they finally got the monkey off their back and beat LSU for the first time in like 2 or 3 decades. Because they just got in the SEC and hadn't won since they joined, and then 2, because they hadn't played in forever. But like, they finally won that game and they made it a big deal that year because that's what they wanted to do. But like, other than that, like you said, like, other than that, beat Bama. Other than that, I mean, you won an Orange Bowl, but like, again, that was a bad year for everybody. So,
yeah. I just like, I would be so frustrated if I was an A&M fan, because you can't sit here and throw all the money in the world at the players and the coaches and the coaches being terrible. Like, you got to find the guy that you're willing to give it all to. And I mean, if I'm Lane, I go to Texas A&M immediately, because I feel like Lane could go to Texas A&M and get the freedom, I would say, that he's kind of been looking for. Like, I think he kind of has the freedom right now at Ole Miss. He's not able to get the talent in Ole Miss. And we kind of talked about that a couple weeks ago, where I feel like if he goes to Auburn right now, like, the boosters are still going to try and control that a little bit. But if he goes to A&M, like, he just gets whatever he wants, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get whatever he wants, and he's in a talent-rich state, which he's not in currently at Ole Miss. And that's the difference. He doesn't have to go and do transfer portal shopping every year like he does at Ole Miss, which is why he's on his way out. And also, and this is something that I didn't realize until today, honestly, was that the state of Mississippi has a law that state employees can't have a contract longer than 4 or 4.5 years. So like that is like a huge disadvantage to him. And 2, like, he can't get the big mega contract at Ole Miss, which is what he wants, and he can't get it. So like, it's obvious that, one, he's frustrated. Like, you could see his frustration after the Alabama game. Like, he has had 3 shots at beating Nick. He's come close, but at the end of the day, hasn't won. 2 of the games he was close. The one last year obviously wasn't, but the one last year was his best team, and he didn't get it done. And I mean, you can see his frustration. And honestly, it's the and then you see his frustration because the local media is like, oh, well, you were close, and then he can like, hey, we don't like, I don't care if that was, you know, what y'all expected in the past, but like, I expect to win and we don't win. So I don't care about the other stuff. So like, you're fine. Like, you're actually, that's something that you don't normally see at a Lane, but he's actually like, you've visualized that now. Like, he's put it out there for you to see, like, okay, this guy actually really does care about winning. Because like, what's the perception that a lot of people have about Lane? It's like, oh, he's a fun guy. You know, he's easygoing, loose cannon. Like, he's just there to have fun. Like, the number one or number two thing you don't think of when you think of Lane is like, hey, he wants to go win a championship. Like, maybe that's what maybe you thought on like behind the scenes people thought, but like outside looking in, you just see Lane Kiffin. Like, you don't see, oh, this guy is like legitimately grinding hard to win a championship.
And to be fair, like, I feel like a lot of that was warranted though, because of how it went at USC and then how it went with the Raiders and Tennessee and blah, blah, blah. Like, he definitely struggled to kind of build up that perception of himself. But I feel like after he was coordinator at Alabama, then he went to, what was it?
FAU.
FAU. He, at that point, like, it's almost like it clicked for him, and he was understanding like kind of where he needed to be and how he needed to get to where he wanted to be, which, I mean, I don't think it's Ole Miss for him anymore. Ole Miss is a good building block. Like, you can definitely get a good job after Ole Miss, but it's just about the right one becoming available.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And again, I think we'd both sit here and I would honestly, like, we both think that A&M probably should move on, but I think we'd both be pretty comfortable saying that we'd be completely shocked if they actually did. I would be comfortable saying and betting money that Lane is going to be next coach at Auburn. You the same?
Yeah, I would say that.
Are you done with your Deion hype train?
No, not at all. I just, like, I think that's what's going to happen. I don't necessarily know if it's the best move for Lane, just because, like, you've got so much to deal with at Auburn, and I don't know if Lane's going to want to put up with that. Like, if you're bringing in Lane Kiffin to be your head coach, the boosters have to absolutely swallow their pride and just let him do his thing. And I don't know if they're ready to do that, honestly. So, I don't know. That's why I still, like, I would put money on Lane Kiffin, yes, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they went with Hugh Freeze or somebody else.
I would be utterly shocked. I would be utterly shocked if they hire Hugh Freeze. I don't think he's in the running at all.
Really?
I don't think he is.
So, I kind of agree with that. I more meant, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they hired somebody else other than Lane.
I think,
because I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think when it comes to hires for Auburn, if it's not Lane, I think it's going to be a dark horse, like a Chip Kelly type.
Yeah, Deion.
Not Deion. No, I don't think it's going to be Deion at all.
Like, they're like, just going to keep Cadillac.
Like, if we're going to say they're just going to get Cadillac, that would be they're going to go the Ed Orgeron route. God bless them if they do. They're going to fail miserably if they hire Cadillac Williams as their head coach. And I will laugh if that actually happens, but I don't think there's any shot. Like, honestly, like, if we're going to talk about, like, the booster thing with Lane, I think that's even more of an issue if it's Deion too. Like, I don't think Deion wants to deal with that crap either. So that's why I wouldn't bring up Deion. I honestly think if it's not going to be Lane, I absolutely don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be Hugh Freeze at all. And here's my reasons for that. I think, one, because John Cohen, because he was at Mississippi State and saw the crap and was rivals with Ole Miss and saw the crap that happened there. Like, I think he's just not going to even interview the guy. And two, even further administratively within the SEC and in Auburn, like, I just don't think they're even going to consider him, whether that's fair or not.
I agree.
I just don't think that's going to happen. And so with that, the only other options is going to be, like, some person that you haven't even heard. Like, honestly, out of all the people that are legitimately putting out lists besides us, like, how often are you hearing about Chip Kelly? You're not.
I saw a fun one the other day, and it was Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning? See, I think that's tough, man. You're Dan Lanning. You're going to leave Oregon and Nike money to go to Auburn? In year one?
Wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. I don't know if I would, honestly.
Well, the thing is, you don't know where you're going with your conference.
You don't know where you're going with your conference, but you're so much a brother. You're like a big brand now that I don't think it matters.
Yeah. But Dan Lanning's a SEC guy. I mean, coming from Georgia, that's the one that would surprise me.
That is, I mean, yeah, hesitate. I mean, that's a name out of left field that you would, like, Chip Kelly, Dan Lanning, and then,
yeah.
I don't know who else you want to put in that list. Luke Fickell? Like, those, like, honestly, if they hire Luke Fickell, home run hire. I don't think they can.
Because
I don't think Luke Fickell wants to leave the Midwest or the Northeast or whatever you want to call that part of the country. I don't think he wants to leave that area. I don't think he wants to leave Ohio. But if they did get Luke Fickell, I think that would be a home run.
I don't think he would leave.
I don't think he would either, because they're going to the Big 12. But I think the only job that he leaves for is Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that's going to be open anytime soon. So.
Ryan Day going to the NFL, dude.
No chance that dude leaves Ohio State.
Really? You don't think
so? No chance. Absolutely.
He's got
not.
That, like, he's got that Cliff Kingsbury offense type thing, and he's like the young,
absolutely
he's
not.
The young head coach in college that is going to have that itch for the NFL. He's that kind of guy,
If he was going to go to the NFL, it would happen 2 years ago. Absolutely.
Two years ago? Why?
He's been, how long has he been coaching at Ohio
State? It's like his third or fourth year.
No, it is not. Are you serious?
I'm going to look this up. I'll look it up right now.
It's been at least five. There's no way. There's no way. Because Urban Meyer has been out for a hot minute at this point.
Okay, this is his fifth year.
Okay, there we go.
Started in 18. So, like, you're talking 2 years ago, you think he's going to go to the NFL after year two of college? I don't, like,
if he, I was saying after year three.
If he's going to go to the NFL and, like, he's a young guy that has an offense, he is the prototypical type of coach that always gets that NFL itch whenever he's solid.
Well, think about this.
So, like, I, like, if he's going to go to the NFL, it's going to be, like, this year, next year.
The reason I don't think he would do that is because he's at Ohio State. Like, if you think about the guys that have been, have done that, Cliff Kingsbury,
Nick Texas Saban Tech at is, LSU, Chip Kelly yeah, exactly. at Oregon.
Like, okay, exactly. Like, okay. Okay
like, okay, I'm proving okay, your okay, point okay, wrong. Okay. Like, come on.
Okay. But then
Urban but, Meyer. Okay,
that's, come on. Those are the older guys. That's the older, old school. I'm talking about right now. You're just talking about the younger guys. It's Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is baloney.
Listen, like, and listen, Nick Saban. And Chip Kelly were both younger when they left to go to the NFL.
Okay, come on now. Even that, like, they had been at Nick was at LSU for 1 year before he left.
Nick was at LSU for 4 years. For five years. Okay, he was there. He got there at 2000, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, and left. So he left after the 04
And then
year.
He won and then bolted.
He won, then the next year he coached, and then he bolted.
And then he bolted. Jason or Day has been at the top of college football for 5 years.
And hasn't
now.
Won
he
anything. Has yet
to bolt. He's been in the championship like twice.
It doesn't matter, dude. Like, I'm just saying, he is the type of coach that I would not be surprised if goes to the NFL. And as soon as he does, Ohio State's going to hire Luke Fickle.
I think if he would, if he was going to go to the NFL, we would have already heard the rumblings about him.
Who has a higher likelihood of going to the NFL? Ryan Day or Kirby Smart?
Ryan Day. Kirby is no chance Kirby ever leaves Georgia. I think Kirby will die at Georgia. Do you think Kirby would leave to go to the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of like you that, it, like, obviously, like, it's his dream job. He's coaching at his alma mater.
Yeah.
But, like, he's so much like Nick that I just feel like after he keeps building some success at Georgia, he's going to have that wonder of, hey, Nick couldn't do it, but I can.
I think that would be my reason against it, because he is so much like Nick and he can see that he's meant for college football. He's not going to be able to go to the NFL and have the same type of control, which is exactly what happened to Nick. He went to the NFL, realized he was actually dealing with grown men and couldn't tell him what to do. And that would
well,
be
see,
the same
that's
thing
the weird thing with Nick is that he was already a position coach in the NFL before he was a head coach. So, like, he should have already known this. And, like, there are stories about him being a position coach and chewing people out and then, you know, him running and all this kind of stuff because people were about to go and beat the crap out of him because they were 10 times bigger than he was. It's like, honestly, like, Nick should have known, like, what he was legitimately getting into. But, like, that's the thing with these coaches, man. And, like, I'm not going to say definitively, like, if I had to bet money, I would bet the house on Kirby staying. Like, I would. But with all that said, dude, there's something about these coaches that when they're at this high of a level, that's why this whole Nick Saban at Alabama for, like, 12 or 15 or whatever years, however many years it is so rare, because – when these college coaches are at these great universities and having this much success, somebody, some owner in the NFL is going to come driving up his driveway with a freaking semi truck, promising them the world that he'll have full control. He'll basically be his own GM and all this stuff, give him all the money he ever wants and gives him a deal where he can't say no. Somebody's going to do it. And it might not be this year, it might not be next, but man, at some point, like, somebody's going to do it. And whether he says yes or no, like, that's the question. If somebody, like, if the Las Vegas Raiders go over to Kirby Smart and say, hey, we're giving you X amount of money, more money than Georgia could ever offer him, full control and all this for the National Football League, I mean, like, he's going to listen. And if I'm Georgia fans, I would be holding my breath when that happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about him leaving for the NFL. Like, if you're giving me the choice between him or Ryan Day, I would say Ryan Day. And I don't think either one of them are going to leave, honestly. So, I don't know.
It's interesting, for sure. Listen, we all thought that Lincoln Riley was going to go, and now it doesn't seem like he's going to.
He would have been a better guess for me to go to the NFL, for sure. But I don't know, man. Like, when a guy like Matt Rhule leaves Baylor and goes to the NFL,
I honestly didn't think that was going to work out anyways.
I didn't either, but like, that's more of the coach that I like, the program coach XYZ that I see leaving and bolting for the NFL. Other than, like, I don't see somebody that's at the top of college football like Ryan Day bolting and giving up right now what he has at Ohio State just to go try take a shot at the NFL and probably fail, honestly. I see it somebody who's like, who just had a great season like Baylor did with Matt Rhule and trying to capitalize on it. Like, you're not really capitalizing on anything right now if you're Ryan Day just to go in and probably fail in the NFL.
I honestly was shocked on how much hype Matt Rhule was getting whenever he did get the Panthers job.
I agree.
I really did. Because, I mean, like, yeah, he had a good run and built up Temple, and then he had a good run after the disaster at Baylor, but, like, dude, like, really didn't really win anything. And then he immediately gets a head coaching job in the NFL. Didn't really make sense to me, but that's the NFL for you. A lot of it doesn't really make sense. So let's move on, dude. We've talked a good bit, unless you have any other topics you want to ask me or bring up. We're going to talk Harold Perkins for Heisman, or?
Look, you can try that. It didn't work out for me.
Let's talk Heisman then. Let's just get it out of the way. Okay. I did say at the end of the show, I kind of think is a little wide open right now. I know you're just thinking no shot because you think it's CJ Stroud and all this mess.
Yes.
Let's have a serious conversation here. Okay. CJ Stroud, the only way CJ wins the Heisman is if they beat Michigan and he has a great game. That's not guaranteed.
So I completely disagree with that now. Why? At this point. Well, who else is even in the running at this point?
Well, like, who else is in the running? I think that's why it's so wide open. Like, you can't tell me that CJ Stroud is going to win the Heisman after losing to Michigan and having it. If he loses to Michigan, it doesn't make the Big Ten championship game. There's no way he wins. And so then you're going to go kind of like maybe like an RG3 route where. Like, here's the thing that I'll say about the Heisman that I've kind of not liked recently is that it's been this way kind of for a while, of it's usually been the best player on the best team. And that kind of drives me crazy a little bit because, like, it takes away from players like a Drake May or, you know, the guy Michael Penix Jr. over at Washington or, you know, guys like that that have had great and amazing years. But they're not even in the Heisman discussion because their teams aren't in the playoff race. Like, to me, like, that's just ridiculous because the only teams we're going to talk about, the only players we're going to talk about for Heisman are from the same programs, Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, whatever. So I think that's really crappy. So to me, if CJ Stroud doesn't and Ohio State doesn't beat Michigan, doesn't make the Big Ten championship, and if CJ Stroud doesn't have a great game, especially, and they lose to Michigan, Here's my thoughts. I think depending on the game Blake Corum has, you can talk about him. You can talk about Drake May. He seems to be getting a little bit more buzz now. I think Hooker is out of it. Hendon Hooker is out of it just because of especially how he performed against Georgia. I think he's kind of done because it doesn't have any more big spots to really kind of prove himself anymore. Bo Nix could have been in the conversation, but then he gets hurt and they lose to Washington. I mean, honestly, Michael Penix Jr. should be in it, personally, because he's had such a great year. But, like, I just think it's just – like, everybody's just banking on CJ Stroud. And I'm telling you, man, like, I just think his Heisman contention is hanging on that one game because they haven't played anybody all year, man. He hasn't had a Heisman moment. Like, if we're just giving a reward out for stats, then it should go to Michael Penix. It should. but we're going to say CJ Stroud because he's the quarterback on the number one team in the nation. Like, that's what we're saying right now.
Well, do you have let me pull up his numbers.
Pull up his numbers. I'm pretty sure that Michael Penix has the best numbers of a quarterback in college football right now. You can pull up CJ Stroud, and I'll pull up Michael Penix, and we'll compare them.
That's my thing, though. Like, you want to say it's wide open. I don't know if I can get behind that right now just because of everything that you've laid out. Like, the only other person that I could – there's two people that I could see right now, and it's CJ Stroud or it's Blake Corum. And I don't see much after that because, like, I could have said Hendon Hooker. Like, that was a thing for a little bit, but then he looked like absolute dog water against Georgia. All right, so here's CJ Stroud for the season right now. 2,750 passing yards, which is 18th in the nation, I believe. And then 34 touchdowns, which is tied for first, and 4 interceptions. On top of a 90.9 QBR.
Michael Penix has passed for 3,640 yards for 25 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
So yards, that's it.
Like, come on, man. Come on. What's his completion? What's okay, his completion percentage?
I don't see it. Oh, here it is. Oh, no, it's not. I don't see it. 67.
So they're both at 67. They're both completing the same amount, and yeah. One's passed for more yards, one passed for more touchdowns. Like, correct. So what?
And Washington has what? 3 losses?
Again, this is the problem with the Heisman. We're talking about, hey, and this guy, it is a problem because we're talking about, hey, that team has 3 losses. He can't win the Heisman. That means that we're not going to have an RG3 again. Like, that's the thing.
But that's the point of the Heisman.
The Heisman is supposed to be the best player in college football, and that doesn't always mean you're on the best team. That doesn't mean you're on the best team.
What? Okay, but that's a part of it. If you're the best player in college football, your team is supposed to be performing at the top level. You're not supposed to be losing 3 games a year if you're winning the Heisman. Like, if you wanted to say that, then I honestly think it should just be changed to a statistical award. It's just, hey, whoever has the best numbers this year is going to win the Heisman. I think that's where it should go. But if you want to say best player in college football, that comes with your team being at the top, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's make that argument then. Was Devontae the best player on the team?
Absolutely.
You think so? You think he was the best player on the team? He's better than Najee Harris?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. That year, yes.
You think Derrick Henry was the best player on the team? You think he was better than Christian McCaffrey?
Absolutely.
That year?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, 1,000%.
Let me pull up the Heisman winners real quick.
Okay. Like, okay. We can keep throwing some out. Lamar Jackson that year. Absolutely.
But, hey, that's not the best team in the country. They aren't the best team. They lost what? Like 3 or 4 games?
They lost one game, and it was the Clemson.
They lost more than one game, bro. Because they played in like the they played against LSU that year in the freaking Citrus Bowl.
That doesn't sound right. The only one that I can give you that would be weird is Baker Mayfield. That one was kind of gross.
They went 9-4.
What?
They lost to Clemson. They lost to Houston. They lost to Kentucky. They lost to LSU.
That is disgusting. Okay, what were his numbers, though? Because I think the only way that my argument could be a little flawed about the team thing is if it's like historic, insane numbers.
And again, here's who he went up against, by the way. Here's who he won the reward over. He won it over Deshaun Watson. Sean won the national championship that year, by the way. Baker Mayfield.
Because I'm pretty sure.
D.D. Westbrook from Oklahoma. So those two kind of split votes. Jabril Peppers, Jake Browning, Jonathan Allen, Deontay Foreman, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Donnell Pumphrey from, but Lamar Jackson, wow, you're going to pick Allen. Lamar Jackson over Deshaun Watson. Okay. Then like, it's not about best player on the best team. So statistically, here's where his statistics before before the bowl game against LSU, in which he got destroyed, by the way. Love that game. He only completed 57% of his passes. Passed for 3,390 yards, threw for 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He ran the ball for a little over 1,500 yards and 21 touchdowns. So he had 51 total touchdowns.
Yeah, and almost, 5,000 total yards? No.
Almost 4,928 in total yards.
So that's insane.
That's Lamar Jackson. That's insane. I'm about to bring up Deshaun Watson's stats real quick.
That's kind of where I'm going with it. Like, if you have insane numbers like that, then you absolutely can win the Heisman and still have three or four losses. That's where I'm at with Michael Penix Jr. right now, is he doesn't have those insane numbers.
Okay, so Deshaun Watson, again, this is his final year at Clemson. They won the national championship, went undefeated. All that good stuff. Passed for almost 4,600 yards and 41 touchdowns.
Oh my God.
That's just passing.
What the heck?
Rushing. Right, rushing. He ran for 629 yards and 9 touchdowns. So he had 50 total touchdowns. He was right there the same with Lamar Jackson. Okay. So, like, what's the conversation we're having here? They both had comparable stats. One guy was on the best team in the nation. Like, I'm with you that Lamar was the best player, probably. Like, he was best all around, most electrifying guy. That's why he won. But, like, we're not getting that here when you can say, hey, Drake May. Let's bring up Drake May's stats real quick.
Yeah, Drake May. Gosh, Deshaun Watson got snubbed big time. Good Lord.
You still have CJ's stats pulled up?
Yeah.
How many touchdowns does he have?
He has 34 passing touchdowns.
Drake May has 34 passing touchdowns.
I'll see where it is.
3 interceptions, passing for a little over 3,400 yards. Passing for 70%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, his numbers are
insane. They have,
like,
the same numbers, and they've had the same schedule.
Yeah, but see, like, to me, that's kind of where I'm going with argument, is that everything is comparable right now, except for the Ohio State is basically killing everybody they're playing. They're destroying everybody. So now, like, you got to find a difference somewhere.
The difference is going to be, again, if CJ Stroud does not win against Michigan, Drake May is going to the conference championship game.
Okay, so that's where I actually agree with you. Like, if it does kind of all depend on the Michigan game. But, like, right now they haven't played Michigan. So that's why, in my mind, like, it's not even close who's going to win. And it's
so, like, my whole point was, hey, like, to me it's up in the air because the Michigan game hasn't happened. Because we don't know what's going to happen in that Michigan game. Like, obviously season ends today. Who's going to win it? It's probably going to be CJ. But the season doesn't end today. So I'm more so looking future. And this outcome of, hey, he's playing a really good Michigan team. We don't know what the elements are going to be, one, because that, like, obviously the elements played a big factor in him against Northwestern. Michigan plays a completely different style of ball than Ohio State, and they want to ground and pound and all this stuff. We don't know what that game is going to look like. And so, like, if I'm looking forward, Drake May has his ticket to their conference championship game, and he has two games to really show out. He plays NC State this week, which is a ranked opponent. Are they still ranked? I don't even remember. We haven't even talked about the rankings. Maybe they're not, but they've had hype this year. They have a good defense, and then he plays Clemson. So, like, he's going to have his chance. And so to me, that's why I'm saying it's more wide open, because, like, we're basing it off of games, like a couple of games that are coming up on who's going to win. And if we even get to the scenario where Drake May doesn't have great games coming up and then CJ Stroud loses, then what? right? That, like, that's why I'm saying it's up in the air. That's why I'm not saying it's absolutely CJ. If CJ goes and has a great game against Michigan, like, he's going to win. Like, I'm with you there. But to me, like, that's not a given to me, just because, like, if we're sitting here looking out, picking Michigan, Ohio State, I honestly don't know who I'm picking in that game right now. So, like, that's why I'm saying to me it's wide open, and that I don't know what's going to happen in that game, you know?
Yeah.
If we're going to sit here and, like, say season is today, who wins it, like, we're both going to say it's going to be CJ Stroud, but, like, it doesn't. So, like, you can't, like, to me, you just can't
say
it's not a race, and there's not, like, it's not unknown who can win, to me.
I would just say, like, the three right now, it's either going to be CJ, Blake Corum, or Drake May. And I don't think there's really any other options after that, in my opinion. Like, I can't get behind Hendon Hooker winning the Heisman. And same thing with Michael Penix. Like, I don't know. I can't see that happening. Like, a lot would have to happen for both of them to honestly even be a finalist.
Yeah, so I'm pulling up the odds real quick, and we'll bring up the odds, and then we'll move on for the Heisman. As they sit right now, here are the odds for the Heisman. These are top six. We have CJ Stroud as the favorite at plus 100. Two is actually Hendon Hooker at plus 400. Three is Drake May at plus 600. Five is Blake Corum at plus 700. And then you have a big drop off to the next couple of people. Caleb Williams at plus 1400. Freaking this guy, Stetson Bennett at plus 1600. And then an even bigger drop off from that. It goes Stetson Bennett at six to seven of Max Duggan from TCU, having a really solid year. He's at plus 6,000. And then an even bigger drop off. These two are tied. Bryce Young and Jaden Daniels are both at plus 10,000.
Bryce Young is
after that, Bo Nix is at plus 15,000. Brock Bowers at plus 25,000, along with Jalen Hyatt. Chase Brown from Illinois is at plus 30,000. Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State is plus 50,000. Israel Abanikandana from Pitt, he's plus 50,000. And my boy, Harold Perkins, is at plus 50,000. He's on that list. I don't see Will Anderson on this list, bro.
You just had to get there.
He's not on this list.
Pull up the numbers, Cam.
Listen, he's not on the list, okay?
Pull him up. Pull up the numbers. We both know who has better numbers.
Listen, it's not all about numbers, Mason, okay? It's not all about the numbers. All right, we'll move on. Let's talk college football playoff rankings since we waited forever on them. And then we'll finish up quickly with fantasy and picks. So football rankings, no movement in the top five. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, Tennessee 5. I don't think we really had any surprises there. There really wasn't many surprises in the top 9 or top 10, I don't think, besides at number 10. Everybody just basically moved up. LSU moved up 1 to 6, USC, Bama, Clemson. With the Oregon loss, they dropped down. And so Utah actually moved up 3 spots to number 10. Penn State moved up 3 spots for some reason, somehow, I don't know why, to number 11. Then Oregon dropped down 6 spots after the loss to number 12. North Carolina, our boy Drake May, his team is solidly, just slowly moving up at number 13. Ole Miss dropped a little bit to 14. Kansas State up to 15. UCLA, after their loss, they moved down only 4 spots after losing to Arizona. I don't understand that. They're at 16. Washington moved up a good bit, up to 17. Then Notre Dame at 18. Florida State at 19. UCF at 20. TCU at 20, or TCU, Tulane at 21. Oklahoma State and Oregon State come in after not being ranked at 22 and 23. NC State is still ranked. They moved down 8 spots after losing, and they're at 24. And then Cincinnati at 25. So those are your rankings. Again, the couple of surprises I had is how far Oregon dropped, and Penn State being at 11 just feels weird to me. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like North Carolina should still be a little bit higher than they are right now. Like, I know they haven't necessarily beaten anybody, but being at 13 still feels a little low for them, especially like being behind Penn State at this point. Also, I'm trying to get my guy Gus in UCF a little bit higher. Let's get this out of here. 20, come on. Gus Bus is rolling down here. Need to bump him up a little bit.
Never doubted. Did you? You forever fan over the UCF, the national champions in what, 2018 or whatever it was?
He's a hometown hero.
All right. So those are the rankings. You know what? Let's just not stop there. We'll go quickly whenever we get to fantasy and picks. We'll just get just straight. Whenever we get to picks, we'll just do straight picks. We won't really talk much about the game. We'll just do, hey, just give me your picks. But let's talk a little bit more about playoff. Okay. We were kind of talking about this as you and I were watching the rankings be revealed because they were freaking late. And we honestly talked way longer about the Heisman than I thought we were. But we were having a discussion about LSU. If they somehow pull off the miracle and beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, you are like supremely confident that no matter what LSU gets in, if they win out to win the SEC championship, where oddly enough, I am like a lot more hesitant in thinking that things need to happen in order for LSU to get in. So let's talk about it, Mason. Why are you so supremely confident that a two-loss LSU SEC champion would get in over a possible one-loss Pac-12 champion and USC, Tennessee, TCU, Georgia, like those teams?
Well, I think it just comes down to the strength of wins. And because at that point, LSU would have beaten Alabama and Georgia, which would be the two best wins out of any team ahead of them at that point. And honestly, the committee has shown like their obsession with the SEC at this point. There's been multiple years where the SEC has had two teams in, especially one with one loss. Even last year, it was Georgia and Alabama both had a loss. So I just don't see a world where they leave out the SEC champion completely. Like, that just wouldn't make much sense to me. I think the real question would be like, who would get knocked out at that point? Because I mean, even this, like after the rankings this week, they put LSU at 6 over USC. You're telling me a win over Georgia in the SEC championship doesn't knock them up 2 spots over a one-loss Tennessee and then a one-loss either Michigan or Ohio State? Like, I just don't see a world where that would happen.
I mean, we are going to have to break precedent, though, because Penn State was a 2-loss Big Ten champion and didn't get in. I think Ohio State actually got in over them. I'll pull up that playoff, actually. Let me actually look at that as we're talking about this. But, again, they're going to, like, the playoff committee is going to have to say, hey, and make an exception. Well, not really exception, but put in a 2-loss team in for the first time ever in the playoff. And yes. That's where I'm a little bit more hesitant because, again, you can make an argument for undefeated. So like if the way that we're going to look at this is the teams that would be in, obvious teams that would begin, winner of Ohio State, Michigan's in, TCU goes undefeated, they're in. And to me, one loss USC in. So those are your three to me. And this is assuming that Georgia loses against LSU. So you have a one loss Georgia team, a one loss Tennessee team, a 2-loss LSU team, and a 1-loss champion USC team. Which two are you putting in?
Wait, hold on. So you're saying that they would put in a 1-loss USC over a 1-loss Georgia?
I think they would, man.
Here's what I say.
I don't know if they would, but I'm saying is out of the last two spots out of the pool of teams that are going to be picking from, it's going to be 2-loss SEC champ in LSU, a 1-loss Georgia, a 1-loss Tennessee, a 1-loss Pac-12 champion in USC. So which two are you putting in?
Well, wasn't it just last year that they didn't put in the 1-loss Big 12 winner?
No, I think Baylor had 2 losses last year. Yeah, Oklahoma State had 1 loss going in, and then they lost to Baylor because I think Baylor had 2 or 3 losses.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I just like Georgia has clearly been the most dominant team so far, and I just don't see a world where they would put a 1-loss USC team who has looked beatable in over Georgia. Say, assuming that they lose and this whole crazy scenario actually happens. But like even then, like I don't see a world where the commission or the committee would leave out the SEC champ, which they have shown to be absolutely obsessed with the SEC ever since this thing started.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get that. I'm just hesitant, man. I just am.
I just think you're trying to reverse jinx this right now is what we're getting.
I'm trying to reverse.
You're just trying to be hesitant. Jinx it. Are you just like trying to not get your hopes up right now?
I honestly think I kind of am. Okay, so 2017, the 2017 college football playoff had Alabama play Washington and Clemson play Ohio State. Ohio State did not win the Big Ten. Ohio State was a one-loss team. They lost to Penn State. Penn State won the Big Ten that year, and they got snubbed. Let me actually look up the rankings for you real quick.
But I think even then, like, if we're being honest, Ohio State was probably playing their best football at the end of the season, so they probably did look like one of the better teams in the nation. So it was kind of respectable at that point. That's kind of where LSU is at this point. LSU is playing their best football right now at the end of the season. And if you're going in and you're beating Georgia, then like that's okay. Even that, like Penn State probably beat what, Wisconsin? And so to me, it's just like, if you're telling me that a team beats Alabama and Georgia in the same season, where Alabama and Georgia were probably projected to be the two teams at the very end of the season, then I don't see how, even with two losses, you can keep that SEC champ out of the playoff.
I mean, it's just the conversation that I guess the point I'm kind of making is we're talking about a one-loss Pac-12 champ in Washington getting in over a two-loss Big Ten champ in Penn State. And Penn State would have beaten Ohio State, which got in the playoff. They're at three. They also would have beaten Michigan, which is just behind them at six. So those are two good teams.
Okay, but even that
like, was better than anything that Washington would have beaten, is what I'm saying. I just think it's comparable because they didn't put a two-loss Penn State team that won their conference in over a one-loss Pac-12 champ.
I think the thing is, like, there's a very obvious difference to me in going through an SEC schedule and going through a Big Ten schedule. And I know like that has been beaten to death, but like, I just would say that LSU has more pull being from the SEC than Penn State does being from the Big Ten. So like, I would be shocked if this scenario actually happened and LSU wasn't in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there when it comes to the SEC, and I just wanted to pull up Penn State's schedule just so I could talk accurately. So their two losses on the year were both kind of early. They were both in the month of September. They lost to Pittsburgh at Pitt by 3 points, by field goal, and they got blown out by Michigan, so they didn't even beat Michigan. But they did beat Ohio State at home, and they beat Wisconsin in the conference championship game. So those were their two big wins. Again, like, I'm with you that the SEC teams and LSU might have more pull. I'm just bringing up the historical factor of they had a chance to do it. And the comp here is, you know, like, Ohio State in this scenario is Georgia. Georgia wouldn't win the conference. They would have lost the conference title game. They would get in. To me, like, Georgia's in no matter what, to me. I think that's kind of fair to say, right? And so if we're saying that, then the conversation is, do you put LSU ahead of Tennessee when Tennessee went to Baton Rouge and destroyed them? And do you also put them ahead of USC with one loss that is also a conference champ? And so historically speaking, what the one time that the committee had a chance to do that, they didn't win. And instead of putting in a two-loss Big Ten champ ahead of a one-loss Pac-12 champ in Washington, They put in the one-loss Pac-12 champion. That's just what they did. So that's kind of my concern. We haven't seen it happen. I'm also trying not to get my hopes up because I feel like if we do win and we don't get in,
yeah,
I'm just going to be right like, I think I probably might rant and rave. And anybody who says the regular season is the whole reason that college football is great, which it is, and that's why we shouldn't expand the playoff and all this, I'm going to go off on, because that just shows that the regular season doesn't matter and that conference champions don't matter and all this crap. So for my sake, let's hope LSU wins and gets in. Or you know what? It's okay if we don't win. I'm honestly fine with it because we shouldn't be here. But if it does get to that scenario, I'd rather that happen instead of having to be, you know, wanting to tear everything down. So.
All right. Let me throw two more things at you real quick. So like, more realistically, we can probably say that from my point of view, I think Georgia's going to beat LSU in the SEC championship. I don't know where you're at with that.
I'm there with you.
You might have your own thoughts. Okay, cool. So more realistically, you're going to have undefeated Georgia. They'll be number one. Then you're going to have the winner of Ohio State, Michigan. They'll be number two. You're probably going to have undefeated TCU. So then that leaves you with one loss. Let's just say Michigan. One loss, Michigan. You'll have one loss, Tennessee. And then you can say one loss, USC, Pac-12 champion. And then if you wanted to throw Clemson in there, I don't think we can really for this exercise. So now you're looking at one loss Michigan, one loss Tennessee, one loss USC for the last spot in the playoffs. Where do you think that goes? Do you think that goes to USC just because they're the champ, they're the Pac-12 champ?
I think if Michigan loses against Ohio State, they're out no matter what. I don't think they have a shot because their schedule is so horrible.
Okay.
So
that's kind of where I'm at too. I think it really just comes down to Tennessee.
I think it definitely does come down to Tennessee and USC. And again, this is kind of the same thing that we were talking about, but Tennessee only has one loss, and that's to the number one team in the country. And I think they have a better strength of schedule. And so in this scenario, I would go maybe Tennessee.
The problem that I'm having with that is that Tennessee would very obviously be number four. And then you're getting a Tennessee.
But I think Georgia that's what rematch. They would rather have. And I think they would rather have the rematch in the semifinals than in the finals, which is why I was kind of shocked that they didn't do that last year with Alabama, Georgia, and didn't make that like 2-3 or 1-4 or whatever. Yeah. But
well, I think last year they knew that Georgia and Alabama were basically the two best teams in the nation, so they kind of wanted to get that in the finals, which is kind of where I see. Like, I don't feel like Tennessee is one of the two best teams in the nation. I can make the argument that they're top four for sure. Like, if they made the playoffs, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But top two, I don't know if I would go with that.
And so here's the thing. Like, we're all talking, like, we're both talking, like, it seems kind of like a given that USC is going to win out. Honestly, like, I don't think they could.
I really don't think they can lose this week to
UCLA. I think they can lose next week to Notre Dame. And even if they do make it to the Pac-12 championship game, I think they could lose to Oregon or Utah again. Like, I
don't think there's a way they don't lose at least one more game for the rest of the season.
So if that's the scenario, then...
Okay, so my second thing... So my second thing is we're now kind of thinking that Tennessee probably going to squeak into the playoffs. So bowl game-wise, it's always been the best SEC team left out of the playoffs gets the Sugar Bowl bid. Does that go to Alabama or LSU?
It's got to go to LSU, dude. You're division champs.
Okay, even with
your
division losses,
champs,
though,
dude. You got to.
Okay.
Yes.
Even with three losses, though, because if LSU drops to Georgia, they'll probably drop to 10.
At that point, I don't think rankings matter. Like once you get past the playoff rankings, if you're talking about like the bowl tie-ins, like. You're just going to pay, hey, like LSU was division winner. Like they're not going to hold that SEC championship game against them. Like, I just don't think that's the case.
I think they would have a really hard time putting a three loss LSU into that bowl game.
Well, I think Alabama's going to get a New Year's Six bowl game anyways. Like, I don't think it matters. I think both will get one.
Which one do you think they would get?
Because I don't even remember what the playoff games are.
Yeah, I don't really either. I just thought that was interesting where they would go with it because it's normally
okay,
like
so,
the high
so,
SEC
so here's the playoff semifinals. It's the Fiesta Bowl and the Chick-fil-A Bowl. So those really don't really matter too much when it comes to SEC because both of those were at large anyways. So you got your tie-in with Sugar Bowl. Got the Cotton Bowl, and you have the Orange Bowl. Obviously the Rose Bowl is going to be Pac-12 winner probably and loser of Ohio State and Michigan, right? That's Orange Bowl. And then Sugar Bowl, after the Rose Bowl, you're going to put Clemson or winner of Clemson and North Carolina in the Orange Bowl. And then after that, he'll just have a jumbled mess of teams to fill in the others. And you're going to have LSU and Bama in either one of those three, either the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, or the Orange Bowl, because those are all games that the SEC has been in. So I just don't think it matters.
I could see them doing that where they put Alabama in the Orange Bowl against Clemson. And then
they're going to put LSU probably in the Sugar just because they're in New Orleans. And then either going to be Bama in the Cotton or Bama in the Orange. That's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah. That would make more sense.
Boom. Agreement.
That's all I had.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and quickly get out of here, Mason. We've gone for long enough, I think. Quickly, fantasy update. My season is over. You have put me out of my misery. With your stupid CJ Stroud and my stupid quarterback and apparently running back curse of Jaden Daniels doing absolute garbage against Arkansas. And then Mayan Williams breaking his foot or ankle or something as he was going off for Ohio State. But I'm still playing for pride, Mason. Still playing for pride. So since you won again, unfortunately, give me your lineup for this week, and I'll give you mine, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I really thought the Looney Tunes were about to beat the Monstars again because my golden lineup that I put together really actually kind of sucked it up. So that was great. But luckily, your lineup sucked it up a little bit more. So now it's officially over, but we're still going to keep this ride on the...
I don't know where you're going with that either.
I don't know what that's saying. We're just going to keep going. Whatever.
I'm
going
to leave that in.
why not? So for this week at quarterback, I'm going with our guy.
It's my guy. All right.
I have laid claim to Drake May a while ago, actually. So let's get that out of here. So I'm going with Drake May. Running back, I'm going with the freshman phenom, Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss. Mr. Touchdown, apparently.
Unreal, dude.
Then wide receiver, I'm going. Yeah, awesome. Wide receiver, I'm going with Quentin Johnson from TCU. Tight end, I'm going with Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. And flex, I'm going to just take my shot on Will Shipley. He's been playing pretty good, so why not?
That one's kind of gross. That's a gross pick. at quarterback, I'm going with Caleb Williams. Hopefully I can at least, only at the end of the season, only lose by one. That'd be okay with me. Moral victories, guys. Moral victories. Going Caleb Williams from USC at quarterback. I'm going with Zach Charbonnet over at USC for running back. At wide receiver, again, I'm keep going with my players playing against Arkansas, okay, the Arkan frauds. I'm going to wide receiver Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss. At tight end, again, at this point, Mason, we're just doing our shots in the dark on tight ends. And this feels uber gross just even saying this, but I'm going with Sam Laporta from Iowa. He's their leading receiver. And Mason and I were talking earlier about Iowa. They are absolutely horrible on offense. But I have no idea where I'm going to go for tight end. So I'm going with that. And then at flex, I'm going with Dejon Edwards from Georgia. He's been I think he's a freshman running back at Georgia who's been becoming their number one running back. So I'm going him as my flex.
And to make you feel better, we are going to be doing this championship weekend. So slate will be wiped. That'll be a one weekend thing that you can kind of try and get your revenge on.
So I'm going to go undefeated championship weekend and bowl season, okay? I'm coming for you, Mason.
Okay.
Hyping it up.
We'll see what happens. I doubt it.
All right. So now we're going to get into picks. Last week, Mason, you had a really good week last week. You went 8-2 and won last week. That makes you 49-40-4. I had a pretty decent week. I went 6-4-1. Unfortunately, it's not good enough yet. So I'm 46-43-4. Both of us over 500. Look at us, man. Look at us. So it does feel good.
Actually.
It really does. So with that, We're going to go with our picks this week. We have a pretty decent slate. We're going to go pretty quickly here. I honestly don't know why I put this one on here because of how big of a spread it is, but we're just going to go with it. Illinois at Michigan. Michigan is an 18-point favorite. What you got?
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Okay. I will go Michigan as well because they're just a machine right now running the football. TCU at Baylor. TCU, after winning against Texas, is a 2.5-point favorite against the Baylor Bears. What's your pick here, Mason?
TCU is still getting disrespected with their lines, so I'm
going to
take them.
Yeah, I'm going TCU as well. We both think at this point that they're going to go undefeated throughout the year. This is a letdown spot for them, but I like TCU beating Baylor. Next one is Kansas State going on the road to play West Virginia. Kansas State is fighting for a conference championship berth in the Big 12 championship game, and they are a 7.5-point road favorite at West Virginia. What's your pick on this one?
I have been riding West Virginia in their offense, and they have been helping me out. So I'm sticking with them. 7.5 is kind of a high number.
It does seem kind of high, but I'm going to roll the Kansas State here. They have seemed to be blowing out teams recently, and I'm going to roll with them. I'm going Kansas State. Next one, and this is kind of a weird line to me. NC State is going on the road and playing Louisville, and Louisville is a 4-point home favorite on this one. What's your thoughts on this?
So I don't remember. Maybe you can remind me if Louisville's quarterback is still
hurt. I don't
know
if he's still hurt or not. I know he got hurt in the game, but I don't know if he's going to be back for this one.
Yeah. So I'm just going to ride with NC State. Louisville's really not all that great this year, but who knows? But I'm going to go with NC State.
I'm actually going to go Louisville, and the only reason why I'm going to go Louisville is because their defense just somehow like always creates like multiple turnovers, and NC State doesn't have a great offense. And so I think the home crowd will help them here. I'm going to go Louisville on this one. And this is kind of high for me, but Texas going on the road to Kansas, and Texas is a 9-point favorite. Vegas just loves Texas for some reason. They were seven or 7.5-point favorite against TCU last week, which we somehow didn't put on our list of picks. I don't know what I was thinking, but they weren't on there. But they are a 9-point favorite on the road against Kansas. What's your thoughts on this one?
So I kind of think Texas is just going to have a throw everything against the wall game and kind of try and get their groove back on offense. So I'm going to go with Texas.
Okay. I'm going to go. I think Texas wins, but I think Kansas will cover at home, and they're a lot better than they were last year. I like Texas to win, but I like Kansas to cover. Ole Miss going on the road to Arkansas after really kind of two disappointing games for them. They weren't back-to-back, so they lost against LSU and then lost disappointed last week against against Alabama. Arkansas lost to LSU, obviously, in the cold. I don't know if KJ Jefferson is going to play. If he doesn't play, then I feel like this is an obvious pick. But I don't know if he is or not. Ole Miss is a 2.5-point favorite. So what's your thoughts on this?
Give me Ole Miss. I've completely given up on Arkansas. So
yeah, 10-2, right, Mason? Yeah, I'm going Ole Miss as well. I think they get it done. the Arkansas will keep losing. Next, we got Bedlam. Oklahoma State going on the road to Oklahoma. And this is, again, one of those kind of weird lines to me. Oklahoma is a 7.5-point favorite against Oklahoma State. What's your thoughts on this?
This is my sniff test game. Absolutely no reason Oklahoma should be favored by 7.5 over Oklahoma State. So I will definitely go with Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I'm going. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go against you. Okay, we're going to have both sides of the sniff test here to see who's actually right. I'm going to go Oklahoma because Oklahoma State seems to just be falling off a cliff at the back half of the year. I'm going to go Oklahoma, and they just seem to have Oklahoma State's number in this game, and I like the 7.5 at home. And then the two big games in the Pac-12 that could have huge ramifications, especially for the discussion we were having earlier. USC going on the road to UCLA. I know I read something that this is like a sold out game in the biggest student section that UCLA is ever going to have ever. It's like 16,000 or something, and they sold like 71,000 tickets, which is kind of laughable to us over here in SEC country. But hey, they're going to have the biggest crowd ever. Ridiculous. Now, whether that's actually USC fans or UCLA fans, that remains to be seen. USC is a 2.5-point favorite against their crosstown rival, UCLA. What's your thoughts on this one?
I'm actually going to rock with Chip Kelly on this one and go with UCLA. I'm a little surprised. Not really. I think if UCLA wins last week, then they're favored in this game for sure. But they lost, whatever. So I'm going to ride with UCLA.
Yeah, I'm going to go UCLA too. I think they're just going to be super desperate and they're ready to win. I think this is their year to win. And so I'm going to go UCLA and the Fighting Chip Kellys as well. And last game that we have for you is Utah at Oregon. Oregon is a 3-point favorite at home after losing to Washington last week. They have to win this game to make the Pac-12 championship game. What's your thoughts on this?
I'm going with Oregon for sure. That stadium is going to be rocking. It's one of the best environments in college football, so I will go
with Oregon. I'm going to go Oregon as well. Again, hopefully Bo Nix is all healed up from his shoulder and everything, but I'm going Oregon as well. I think they win, and I think they go to the Big 12 or Pac-12 championship game. I'm going Oregon. So that's all we got for you this week. Thank you guys for listening to our banter of everything else we went off on today. Mason, do you have any final words for the people?
No, I don't actually. I think I got
everything off
the
chest. You survived the loss against LSU and are victorious once again. So it must feel pretty good to win a game. So. Yeah, all right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.